If I'm not mistaken, I think there was a prediction video. Was there not? Smack off prediction videos. What's cracking? Into our second hour. Nice to have you here. I want to remind you that we have an ATP coming up in hour number three. The Ask the Pros brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Ask me a question. Listen later on. I might answer one or more of yours. And in the meantime, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need quickly from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tommy, really quickly, let me talk to you. I want you to remind them how they can get their smack off prediction videos into New York to get them on the air. What's up, dude?
What's up, Jim?
How you feeling?
Feel good.
Good. So if they want a prediction video, what do they
need
to know?
That's right, smack off season.
It is.
Okay, so they need to shoot a video 20 to 30 seconds horizontally, send it to smackoffpicks@gmail.com, smackoffpicks@gmail.com, and just, you know, to state the incredibly obvious, to air on TV, it has to be appropriate to air on television. So no violence, no nudity, no language that's offensive, no anything that's offensive. Try not to be dumb. I know that can be challenging, but just be smart and your prediction will air on television.
Are they allowed to do drugs?
No drugs.
Can they get nice?
They cannot get nice.
Okay. All right, there it is. Appreciate that. Well done. You want to be on TV? That's the way to be on TV. We can put you on the network with your smack off prediction. Keep it clean. Be smart. Don't do anything to humiliate yourselves, your family, your friends, me, CBS. All right, so it is another huge day in Smack Off season. Hashtag Smack Off season, because today your Smack Off prediction videos do start airing. And that's why I had Tommy come in and say, this is how you get them on the air. So if you have not done so yet, send one in. If you've got an opinion on who is going to be in the Smack Off or who's going to win it all, do it. Now, you might want to wait until you hear this. Maybe you need some help with your prediction. The other reason why today is such a big day in Smack Off season is because the noted jungle historian, Stephen Houston, a.k.a. Stucknut, dropped his annual and famous Smack Off odds last night. Once again, they're unofficial. They're his odds. They're his opinion. Now, what I'm going to say to you is his opinion matters a hell of a lot because he's heard every single show for like the last 25 years. He knows everybody who has called this program. His opinion matters to me. It should matter to you, but they are unofficial odds. They're just one person's opinion. All right? And I will say this, every single year when we do this, the Smack Off participants get bent about these odds. And I would suspect having gone over them, this year will be no different. Again, they're not bettable odds. We're not getting down. We're not taking action. There's an obvious conflict of interest to do something like that. This is just for fun. This is just show fodder. This is just content. We're just having fun with it. I want to be very clear on that. So quickly, about Stucknut. If you don't know him, The Nut Chronicles every single minute and every single word of this show on Stucknut.com. Do not ask me how or why. I've never known. I don't ask. I just appreciate the guy immeasurably. He's been doing it for decades. Stephen Houston knows more about this show than I know about this show. Stephen Houston knows more about this show, and it is my show. And his website is an incredible jungle resource. You have to check it out if you've never been there before. If you have any questions about the show or history of the show, go to his website. The answer is probably there. Now, Steve himself does not participate in the actual event, probably because when he tries to call and be funny, things like this happen. Steve-o, what's up?
Man, I feel like I've already archived that call from Chris in Southeast Wisco before. But I have a little message for Mark in Hollywood, JD in Philly, Rooster from Maverick, and comedian Ian Fidance. Tell me how my ass tastes.
Stucknut. You gotta. This is why he's the jungle historian and not the jungle participant. So running smack is not exactly his forte. Running smack is not exactly his game. However, pushing out smack off odds, that get the entire field totally bent is exactly his game. He's damn good at that. Look at how triggered he got the RIB Rick in Buffalo a few years back.
Well, I saw Stucknut posted his smack off odds the other night, and obviously that dope knows nothing about the show. He's got those two Canadian lames going off at 10-1. I wouldn't touch those hacks at 100-1. And I couldn't believe Caleb in Green Bay opened at 5-1. That's a bigger stretch than that doughboy trying to squeeze into a pair of size 48 Levi's. Maybe you should just bring your mom on again this year, fat boy, and she can apologize for being such a failure as a parent.
Listen, I know that Rick hates everybody and everything, but he's far from the only one that gets butthurt every time Stucknut drops his odds. So let's find out what everybody is going to get bent about this year, shall we? Let's get into this. Why don't we start with the defending champ, Caleb in Green Bay? The Nuts got Caleb at 3-1. That puts him in a tie for second best odds in the field. And I think that is fair. The champ is the champ. We know he's got the game. We know he's got the talent. We know he can go back to back. We know he can run it back. However, he's got a lot of work to do in order to do it again because he's got some incredibly intense competition. Let's hone in on Caleb's 10 biggest rivals for the strap this year. The guys that he's going to have to beat if he is going to go back to back. At least according to the Nut. And again, the Nut knows as much. No, the Nut knows more about this show than anybody. Yesterday, we gave James in Portland his first ever player profile. And now the Nut is giving him a 10-1 shot to win the whole thing. That is 11th best in the field. That seems like our first value play. It seems like a value play because James finished 8th in his first main event appearance last year. A value play if there ever was one. But then again, James has to prove that he's not a one-trick pony. That might have worked his first time in. But then what do you do the next time? Do you want to win? Do you have another gear? Do you have more in your toolbox? I don't know. Next up, two competitors at 8-1. Benny and Wisco. I'll tell you what, I see value there. Benny and Wisco was profiled on Wednesday. Benny at 8-1. Benny can win. 8-1 is good value. Mark in Boston, who had an epic power failure that disconnected his call on the big day last year. But Mark has already been back in here to tell us that he's got a new landline and he's got some fresh new smack that he will be ready to roll on June 30th. Both these dudes are really, really interesting dark horses in the competition this year. Both these dudes are starving for their first strap. Both these dudes, I would say, have the game to pull it off. A couple of very interesting names in the field and there's value there. The next name is always, arguably, the most interesting name in the field, provided he calls. Of course, I'm talking about Iafredi. And the question of whether or not he will call is the only reason why he's 7-1, because he is a living legend. A lot of you want to bury him. A lot of you want to say he's an old man who's totally out of touch. But this guy can go a year, 3 years, 5 years, and then show up out of nowhere at all. Bitter as ever, smart as ever, and then rip second place like he did last year out of absolutely nowhere, and he and others would say he should have won. You can get that guy at 7-1 on the smack off odds from the Nut. Again, I have to think that those odds are based on we don't know whether or not he's coming. I never know whether or not I'm afraid he's coming. I don't know if he's going to arrive or not. I haven't heard word one. I don't know that I've heard from him. He did make a phone call this year. But I don't know. In fact, if I'm looking at my records, he's called twice since the Smackoff. Now, according to Stucknut's Smackoff power rankings, Iafredi is the single most accomplished caller in the history of the jungle. Check out this obscene resume from a guy that we never know if he's going to call or not. Two-time winner. Five-time runner-up, four-time third-place finisher, and 17 top fives. The dude is called into 19 smack-offs, and he has top-fived 17 of them. So, yeah, betting Iafredi is always a good bet, even if we don't know whether or not he's going to arrive. Obviously, now we're into the heavy hitter territory. That brings us to a couple of former champs going off at 6-1. My dude, Mark in Hollywood, 6-1. Then there is the five-time champ, the original Smack-Off Dynasty, Shawnee, the Cabin Asian. Glad Shawnee is a fixture once again after a 12-year hiatus. He's back. He's 6-1. And since returning, he has rattled off a fourth, a seventh, a third, a fifth, all in the last 4 years. No doubt in my mind he can win again. No doubt in my mind he can win again. Guy's lost nothing. Next up, Broadway Victor, 4-1. Vic in NoCal, the 2010 champ. Here's what I respect about Vic, and I respect the hell out of it. He won it in 2010, and in 2022, still has enough game to hit the podium. Longevity, yo. Still has a lot of game. And was the runner-up from 2 years ago. Vic still swings a big stick. And still one to be feared and respected. He's been right there. He's still hungry as hell. He wants another strap badly. Anybody who knows anything about this show always knows to look out for Broadway Vic. Seriously, this year, look out for Broadway Vic. I got a feeling he's sitting on something. I have a feeling that guy is sitting on something this year. Which leaves us three. The defending champ, Caleb, as I mentioned, at 3-1. Joining him at 3-1 with the second best odds to lift his seventh strap. That's right, folks. In a bit of a shocker, according to Stucknut, he is not the favorite. He's not the one to beat. Brad in Corona. The B-I-C, the G-O-A-T, tied for the second best odds this year. Which means the Laguna Beach Bully. My dude left in Laguna. Is the stuck nut favorite to win Smack Off number 29. To coin a phrase, love to see it.
Love to see
it. So Lef is a three-time champ. He's been locked in an epic rivalry with the BIC for nearly a decade now. Lef has three straps of his own, but he has not won since 2020. Most importantly, he had his worst finish since his debut main event last year. For most, seventh place in a smack-off is a strong accomplishment. For Lef, it's an embarrassment. For Lef, it's humiliating. For Lef, it's a reason to come back with a vengeance. At least that's the way Nut sees it. What do you think? Get up in here. Send a prediction video if you want. Try to call with a reaction if you want. Or better yet, try to jump into the fray, earn a golden ticket, and take part in the madness. Here's some other odds for you. Here are the wild cards. Your long odds. The field. You can take the field at 50-1. Silk, a former champ, 22-1. Mike in Indy would be the best value ever at 18-1, but the reason he's 18-1 is he doesn't call anymore. It's one of those things where if you were James Kelly and you were betting it, you'd pick a good value or a low odd, and then you just throw some money at Mike in the event that Mike wanted to shock the world, but Mike just does not call. Gino, 18-1. There's some value. Dan in Denver, 16-1. Paul's Dog, 12-1. Jeff from Richmond, 12-1. Rick in Buffalo, 5-1.
Who loves you, baby?
There's some value there, 5-1. But he's got Lef as the one to beat. He's got the BIC and Caleb second. And again, just one man's opinion. Unofficial odds. You can't get down on that. You can't bet that. You can't get action on that. There's no money involved. That's all for fun and conversation. What is your reaction? The participants generally take that pretty personally. Hey, Rick, how's that feel? Hey, Jeff, how's that grab you? 12-1. Hey, Paul's dog, 12-1. Gino, are you going to call on the 30th? If so, would you bet on yourself at 18-1? Silk, I know you don't care. You roll with everything. All you care about is the swells. 22-1. Mike and Indy, 18-1. Except I would give you even money that he won't call. All right, I'm looking for reaction. Or if you want, hit me up with a prediction video. First bit, Ian. Ian writes, Jim, the BIC is not the fave? Let me put most of my bankroll on the BIC at plus 300. Then I'll sprinkle a couple of units on Benny and Wisco at plus 800 and Paul's dog at plus 1200 because of the great value. I would play it that way if I was not involved. That's essentially how the big head would play it. The big head would probably bet the thing or the person he thinks is going to win. And then he'd sprinkle some around and take a shot at some value. Sean in Wichita, Rome, if Stucknut, quote, knows more about the show than anyone, then why is he putting out these BS smack-off odds and not just giving us who's next in line? Planet Wilson 1, Jim, these odds are whacked. John in New York is going to win.
Roman Rome, what's happening, partner?
It would be the greatest reinvention ever. He already has one of the greatest reinventions ever. John in New York went from a guy who was so incredibly mocked and clowned and bullied and maligned. And I was the only one in this entire jungle that had his back until he made that call. And then everything changed. The way he was viewed, the way he was seen, the way he was treated, the kind of respect he had earned, everything changed. I would have never, and I love John, I didn't think he had that in him. But since he made that jump, does he have another jump in him? Can he jump up into the field and hit the board? Or can he really shock the world and pull off like a Chaminade type win over Virginia? Find any upset. Him winning the strap would be the biggest shock and comeback ever. In fact, not only would he win the $5,000, he would probably get his own interview segment on the Reinvention Project with Jim Rome. So we'll see. Hey, are there odds? I'm looking. He's the field. I don't see any odds on John. He's got to go and take it, though. Wooden Laconic, quote, it's not smack-off season until Stucknut drops the unofficial odds. War Steve and his Stucknut crew running an underground gambling ring on the greatest day in the jungle this year. Let's make some money! Again, like I just said, there's no action. I don't know if Stucknut really is an underground bookie. I'm assuming this is all for fun. There's no action. There's no exchange of money. Certainly not to my knowledge. I would never, ever condone it or endorse it. It's for fun. Show content. All right, so what is your reaction to the odds? Get up in here or send us a prediction video. Also, when we come back, I want to talk about my guy, Blocky. Not getting any respect after what happened yesterday. That's still ahead. Alvin's Week the Was coming up. The ATP is coming up. And I want to talk more about the Eastern Conference Finals. Miami-Boston, what do you think is going to happen in Game 6? Adam Schefter with this note. The Cardinals have released DeAndre Hopkins. Things are not so great in the desert. But then again, DeAndre Hopkins was not getting a whole lot of interest, was he? When he was out there prior to this. Now what? Are the Bills going to swoop in? Are they going to try and get him? Is that a good idea or a bad idea? Because he has been linked to them. So the Cardinals release DeAndre Hopkins. That according to Shefty. All right, let's take a short timeout. Hey, get up in here. It's a long holiday weekend. We are all off on Monday. So hit me right now. 1-800-636-8686. And we will come right back. The Nut doing his job. The Nut getting nice. I love the reaction. And so do you, clones. All right, let me share some of this. Way to go, nice, Nut. Appreciate you. Nice. Manny from Oxnard. Dear Senor Rome, I have a prediction for you for the 2023 Smack Off. I want to predict a top 10 finish for Amber. Not only does she whack methween, she is Portland woman. She will soar and rep the lady clones. Rack me. That'd be awesome. I would love to see it. One, we need female representation. Two, a female cracking the top 10 would be great. Be great for the event. She's got the game. If she puts in the time, it could happen. At John Chat 1, Jimmy, John in New York is the Florida Panthers. He is?
Roman Rome.
John in New York. Do it again, Alvy. John in New York.
Roman Rome.
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 I can't call it, mate. I can't call it. Doggy Dog, put $100 on Victor for me at 4-1. Again, I'm not putting any money on anybody. There's no action here, all right? Put $100 on Victor for me at 4-1. His long body of work is beyond impressive, but this guy has gone Mickelson at the Masters this year, where he has the game to win once again, but just hasn't done, or just hasn't due to somebody else being hot at the right time. He's been calling in with banger after banger that past year as well. He is trending toward another win. Chris in Toronto, 23-year clone. He could do it. Vic has been banging on the door. Vic has sustained success. He has longevity. He has lost nothing. He's that rare guy. He's lost nothing. I would argue that he was absolutely vicious. Vicious back in the day, but still dangerous as hell. If he's lost anything, and I'm not sure he has, he can still run it up there about 98 per. He's dangerous. Vic is dangerous. Vic can win the whole thing. Liz writes, if James in Portland would harness all of the energy that he uses on Alvy and put it towards Brad and Lef, he would hands down win it all. Come on! It's not his brand. That's not where he lives. Now, we've seen really unusual things happen during the Smack Off. Maybe he does. All the guy ever does is call in and talk about Alvy getting nice. What if he does change up? What if he comes with a call that none of us expect? If he wants to win, he'll do that. I just don't know how many different ways you could talk about Alvin getting down that he hasn't already done. How many new things or new ways can he talk about that or say that? I'm sure he's got some left, but not enough to win the event. But my personal opinion is, if James in Portland were to bring that same energy and direct it at somebody or something else, he could win. Allen and Raleigh, a few smack-off odds that look really good. Benny at 8-1, finished top 10 every year he's competed. Average finish of 5.7. Brad, 3-1, has a 60% win percentage the past 10 years. Getting plus 300 on better than a coin flip is great value. Look at Allen getting all analytical with it. Like smack off metrics. Way to go, Ivy League nerd. I like it. Hey, man, why would analytics or everywhere else in the world, why would they not be here? I'm going to ban the shift. What else do we have here? Dude, Allen and Raleigh's on fire. He chased that with this. Smack off odds I'm out on. I love it. So he hit me up with the ones he's in on, and he chased it by saying, these are the ones I'm out on. Smack off odds I'm out on. Mark in Hollywood, 6-1. Since 2015, average finish of 7th. No top three finishes. Jeff in Richmond, 12-1. Only made one smack off since 2012. Better off betting Iafredi if riding a caller who may or may not make it on air. Allen, yo, dude. It might be next year, Big Head Bets with Allen and Raleigh. This dude's on fire. S. Johnson, 1937. Dude, tell me that was not the year you were born. I'm trying so much harder to get younger. Dude, tell me you were not born in 37, Scotty. Hey, Jim, I've got a gut feeling. James from Portland will swipe all the other clones' takes off the glass, take home the 5 grand, and get his own show. Scott in the 716, war putting Paul's dog down. War military who paid the ultimate price. All right, so there's a theme and a thread developing. What is James from Portland going to do? We know he has talent. We know he has game. We know he's funny as hell. Is he a one-trick pony? Or is he going to branch out and try and win it by doing something different? Who knows? Abigail, quote, Iafredi won last year. He had the best call by far. And that's a hill I will die on. Hey, Abby, you sound worse than he did. Iafredi, he also made it very clear to me that he won. The only person who thinks that he won more than you think he won is Iafredi. I have not heard from him, though. I don't know if he's going to come or not. Hey, the thing with Iafredi is always this. Kenny loves the show. Kenny loves the event. Kenny always is in when he can. Like, Kenny is not... He's connected to the show and the event in a very different way. He's just an extraordinarily busy and important person. He just is. If he can do it, I haven't sent the email. I always email him myself. I'll just say it point blank. He's the one guy that I do. Tommy handles the rest, along with the staff and the crew. And then I shout out to you on the air. But I'm afraid he's just a different deal because, frankly, of his life. He has a different life and a different calling, and he's just a very, very prominent, busy dude. I'm just going to leave it at that. So I don't know if he's going to play or not. Raymond Phillips, I'm rooting. Okay, all that said, it doesn't mean he's going to win. Hence, I had him second last year, and it pissed him off and obviously pissed Abby off. Raymond, I'm rooting for Paul's dog to win the smack off. I want to see the haters' heads explode. Hashtag Team Paul's dog. That dog could win. And yeah, I bet there'd be a whole lot of... That's it, Rome. I've listened 25 years, not even 25 seconds more. I'm out of here, man. You and your stupid script, Rome. Fix, fix, fix. You knew that dog was going to win. The second you gave it to Caleb, you knew that dog was going to win in 23. It was in the script. Yo, this isn't the WWE, all right? We didn't script any of that. This guy writes, who in the bleep would put 12-1 odds on Paul's dog? Seriously, Paul's dog's odds could be better suited for the hack-off back in the day. Classic polarization regarding the dog. First guy says, I would give anything for that dog to win. Second guy in, that dog should be in the hack-off. The dog is probably the most polarizing caller on the show. Jacoby Myers, quote, I got a million on Ryan from Sacramento taking the title this year. signed Drake. That's funny. All right, so the reaction's really good. The written reaction. Where are my calls? I see calls, just no good calls. No offense if you're on hold. Where are my good calls? 1-800-636-8686. Start calling. Did you see that sack of potatoes show up for the media? Everybody wanted to rush in and go cringy, cringy as hell. When he was asked how he was feeling, he said, lean and mean. That's not nearly as corny as that guy normally is. And you know what? He did look good. He looked like he leaned out. That sack of potatoes. I mean, if that's not going to motivate you to lean out, what would? Never mind having the worst year of your career and everybody clowning you and a hard-ass coach coming in. The fact that a young peer said, yeah, man, I used to watch that guy on TV. I saw him in person. He looks like a sack of potatoes. If one of your peers is going to call you fat and you're a professional athlete, that probably would motivate you to lean out. He did. Old Russet did look lean yesterday. He looked good. All right, I will take this break. If you want to keep reacting to the odds, go right ahead. I want to talk about Blocky. Like a sack of potatoes. Such a great line. Blocky had the keyboard warriors coming for him yesterday. I want to make sure I get to that. Zaire Franklin, top of hour number three. ATP in the third hour. Albie's Week That Was in the third hour. I'm going to try and get in some of the sound from the Gerald McCoy pod, which is awesome. The Reinvention Project with Eric Musselman is live right now. Listen to that when you can. It's also popping off on social. I like that. People love Mus. Hog Nation. Arkansas is all over it. It's popping off. Hey, listen, if you like Mus and you like what he's done with that program, Mus went deep. We had a different conversation. Be sure to listen to it. Mus has been at the very top of the basketball world and the very bottom and fought his way right back to the top. It's an awesome conversation. Find it. The Reinvention Project with Jim Rome. My guest this week, Eric Musselman. Time now for a sports update. Here it is. Emmanuel Barbari has it. If I'm not mistaken, I just saw Bumpin', and I think I saw Jeff in Richmond with a prediction. Love it. Get your video in. He got his in.
Step your game up.
Wonder who that dude picked. Clones, not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags. So you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares Old Trapper. What is your beef? Jeff, love it. Showing up with a prediction early and often. Did you see it? Why don't we roll some telephone calls? Let's do it. 1-800-636-8686. We go to Parody Gary. Not Larry. Parody Gary. That's a first. Parody Gary, what's up? Hey, Gary, go ahead. You're on. Going once. Going twice. And
no. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
Parody Gary. Yeah, I know. That's better than any parody, actual parody Larry has ever done. I know. All right, that opens up a phone line. Why is it that every time I try to bring you in, you let me down? When I say let's roll phone calls, the one thing I do not want is some idiot who's on hold, who knows I'm coming to him, not being ready. The worst. Let's try it again. Let's try Claremont. Lane in Claremont. Lane, it's good to have you. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Jim? Thanks for the Vine, man. I've been listening since the year 2000. I think this is the second time I've ever called in. I love your show, buddy, but you were letting Ryan from Sacktown skate right now from his terrible beef segment take yesterday. Did you hear him, like, wobbling and warbling as he was trying to get his lame La Quinta blasts in? I mean, you could hear his teeth chattering. You could hear the urine dribbling down his leg as he nervously tried to land his smack. Ryan, this platform's too big, buddy. This stage is just too large, man. Stick to your local. Stick to tipping cows. Stick to smoking meth and marijuana at the same time, which is what you do in NoCal. Stick to lighting your beam and immediately getting waxed in the playoffs. And I say this for your health, buddy. Like, I don't want the jungle to have its first on-air fatality when you call next time and have a panic-induced heart attack trying to land your lame takes. So that's it. That's what I got. Hey, Ward, never letting a day go by in the jungle without hearing Jim Irsay's throaty laugh. I'm looking at you, Jack Savage. War Albie single-handedly overturning the declining birth rate in the United States. And War, the former host of The Apprentice, dying in federal penitentiary. I am out.
My man, Lane, getting after it. Wow, Lane. Lane and Claremont, rack him. Hey, Lane, I do have one question.
Rack him!
What does urine dribbling down somebody's leg sound like? Because that is what you said. What's the sound of urine dribbling down somebody's leg? I know what you were suggesting, that the guy is peeing down his own leg when he calls the program. But you said that's the sound of him urinating down his own leg. That's a strong call. So he took me to task for not taking Ryan and Sacktown to task. So I got an idea. Why don't we go right to Ryan in Sacktown to see how that goes? He's already on hold. Ryan in Sacramento. Ryan, what's up? How'd that feel?
Lane, man. Good call, man. You got some whatever that is. But, yeah, there may be a little urine dribbling. But, hey, Lane, you know what? It's all right, dude. We're all friends here. Rome, I wanted to just straight up war the medical team here. The jungle karma was strong with my hip replacement. In fact, I printed out a golden ticket, gave it to the team, and you know what I rolled into surgery to? Baba O'Reilly. So anyways, successful surgery. Thank you for the karma. Thank you for the team. By the way, Stucknut Boys, great show last night. War, whatever the hell is running through my IV right now. War being ready for the 30th. Love y'all. Minus Riverside, Bakersfield, and Fresno. I am out.
The only thing missing from that is this real life? Is this real life? War, whatever is pumping through my blood system or my bloodlines or my IV or my HV or my HVAC or whatever I'm on right now, war that. Can I get some more of whatever it is I'm on right now? Yo, dude, where's my hip? Where's my old hip? Is that my new hip? Where do I keep the old hip? Does the old hip, is it like a spare tire? Do I put it in the closet? Hey, can I get some more of whatever it is you gave to me? What do you mean? I didn't urinate down my leg. I sound great. I feel great. I rolled into the operating room bumping Baba O'Reilly. Hey, nothing but love, Lane. It's all good. You know why it's all good? I'm pilled out of my freaking mind. You know why it's all good, Lane? Percocet, brah. That's why it's all good. Wow, is this real life? Did I call the jungle? You know what? I'll bet. I bet I can call the jungle again. No, dude, seriously. I bet he calls next hour and doesn't even know that he just called. I'll bet you we hear from Ryan in Sacktown next hour, and he does not know he just made that call. Never mind that whatever he's all hopped up on, that produced his best call ever. Whatever he's all hopped up on. And now you got Mike and La Quinta back for more. Mike was in the middle of a beef earlier this week. Let's go there. Hey, Mike, what's up? How are you?
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Good, dude. You?
I'm doing good. So I want to start off first by apologizing for my beef email yesterday. I missed the last 10 minutes of the show on Wednesday since it wasn't simulcast. I didn't know you read my email. So I sent in a beef email to kind of purge myself of my animosity towards poor Ryan. And I feel kind of bad that he's sitting in recovery right now, but then he dropped the Riverside comment right at the end of his last call, so he left me no choice but to come back after it. So I heard his call yesterday. First of all, Ryan, yes, there is a hotel chain called La Quinta. I'm surprised you know about it because they would never put one in that hole of a town that you live in. The extent of a 4-star accommodation in your town is the Motel 6 down by the airport with the duck pond, swimming pool that they have in their courtyard. But La Quinta is also a resort town in Palm Springs, near Palm Springs and in the Coachella Valley. And while I know $20 goes a long way where you're at for crack and meth, down here that barely covers the valet service for a good parking lot near a duck pond dining restaurant. Excuse me.
I guess you're not allowed to clear your throat on the show.
Not a very good call.
Hey, Alvin, why did you run him? Alvin just went with the, it wasn't a good call. Man, this is bad. You know it's bad if I go to the scorecards and it's Ryan 1 from a hospital bed, hopped up on whatever he's hopped up on, and La Quinta none. But that's how I'm going to score that round. I'm going to score that round 10-9 Ryan. And I don't know that Ryan has ever won a round ever in any fight, but he just won that round. All right, so hour number 3 coming up when we return. Zaire Franklin, a linebacker for the Colts via Zoom, will be joining us. Wait on that. It's kind of a wild day for the phones, so keep calling 1-800-636-8686. Don't go anywhere.